All right. Hello, Idiots on Parade, the Too Ugly for TV podcast. We mock the news so you don't have to. Hello, Jake.
How's it going?
All is well here for the most part, except for the fact that the first thing I did this morning was walk down in the basement and stepped in cat shit because the kids left the door open. And when they leave the door open, the cat goes, oh, I could go in the litter box or I could shit right here on the carpet. And so that's what the cat does because the cat's an asshole. So other than that, all is well. That is Jake Vevra, stand-up comedian in New York City. I am Nathan Timmel, stand-up comedian in Iowa City.
My greatest credit in this industry is I didn't step in cat shit today.
Yeah.
Only one of us can say that.
Only one of us stepped in cat shit right out of the bag. Jake, there is way too fucking much for us to talk about because, I mean, first of all, the Supreme Court went on a tear last week. I sent you a bunch of articles. I didn't send you any articles involving the Supreme Court because, I mean, they're just so ubiquitous. They're everywhere. Everyone's talking about the Supreme Court. Do you want to talk what everybody's talking about, or do you want to go off on any of the tangents of the things I sent you? What do you want to do as we
do a little of column A, little of column B.
All right. I did send you a screenshot. It said liberal outrage as Supreme Court rules. Let's start there because I will never not think of 2016. My wife, I'm sure I've told this story before. She went and canvassed for Hillary Clinton and knocked on doors of registered Democrats. She just didn't go like knocking on any doors like, you know, blanket, you know, like, hey, come vote. Make sure you vote. Make vote for Hillary. She went, the DNC sent her a list of registered Democrats and they said, try and get out the vote. And she kept getting, you know, I just don't like Hillary. I just don't like Hillary. I don't like.
Right.
Hey, so to all you liberals that are pissed at the Supreme Court rulings or the people that were Bernie diehards or whoever, this is fucking on you. This is all on you. Be angry all you want. You didn't vote in 2016, so shut the fuck up.
Yeah, back in Iowa, you know, I went to Obama twice and then Trump twice. It was, yes, we can, but no, we won't. So
yes,
you didn't.
We don't want to. I did read stories about how Obama, I don't want to say ruined it for people because he set the bar so high that, you know, everybody wanted Obama 2.0. And when they didn't get it, they just sort of like, ah, fuck it. And then
that's a fun article to read if you're Obama. Obama would have been a better president if he was a shittier president. What are you talking about?
He would have left an easier legacy to follow had he been shittier.
Well, they also started kneecapping every single fucking candidate that their party actually wanted early in the primaries. Like fucking Tanya Hardy taking him out at the knees. And then they get like a decrepit.
Up, oh, you froze.
Oh, man,
up.
That can barely talk. And they're like, this is the guy everybody wanted. It. It's like, nah, you fucking kind of set your own people up to take out the progressives.
Yeah, I mean, Iowa goes for Buttigieg in first and Sanders in second. And then New Hampshire goes Sanders and Buttigieg. And then there was a third. And then it comes to South Carolina. And I think Biden finished fifth in Iowa. And then it comes to South Carolina. It's like, oh, Biden finished first. Everybody get out of his way. He's the winner. And that's what it's like. Oh, okay, sure. Like he can come in third, fourth, and fifth for several states in a row. And then he can finish first in one. And it's like, yeah, that's our guy.
Right. Just keeping the other progressive on through Super Tuesday while telling all the moderates to fucking get out. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
Shit like that. Like you could totally tell that they were. I don't know. So, yeah, don't get mad when you steamroll in the corporate guy who you and your big donors want and not your own voters and go, I can't believe they didn't vote for us. I blame the party as much because they did that shit to Bernie with Hillary, too. So I blame the party as much as I blame the people. I blame everyone, really.
Yeah. I did see an article this morning. I was waiting for you to log on. It said, Americans divided on Supreme Court rulings. And one that I thought was funny, it was the affirmative action one that went away. It said, whites and Asians are okay with it. Hispanics and Black Americans are not happy. Like, that tracks.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's the. I just did the math and it worked out, you know?
Yes. It was like. But I just loved how they said the headline said Americans are divided, and then it broke down how we are divided. Like, oh yeah, there you go. That not Americans divided by age or income or no. It breaks down by who is benefited and who is not benefited.
Well, I you know, and I'm with affirmative action in most cases. The stuff with the SAT scores is a little know, and the people on the you know progressive side of it will be like, well, no, they're not letting unqualified people in. You have to qualify for it's like, yeah, they're making sure people get past a certain level of SAT scores, but like instead of then we go for who has the very highest of SAT scores. Yeah. Now we're doing this other side. So that with the schools is the one place where I kind of agree with that.
Yeah, I don't have a strong opinion either way. Like, I believe it's been beneficial. I do love Clarence Thomas. I do absolutely adore him. Here's a guy who got into Yale on affirmative action. And there's a school of thought that says if you make it to the top, then you send the elevator down to help others get a leg up. And he just pulled up that ladder behind him. He made it to the top. He's like, no one else. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, how big an asshole do you have to be to benefit from something and then take it away from other people? That's just a thing of beauty.
It's pretty wild, man.
What a prick. My God. All right. Let's talk about other things. Everyone will cover all this better than we will because we're just a couple idiots.
With the Supreme Court and the decision to let artists not make like wedding cakes and stuff.
Oh, sure.
It's like, dude, you work as a wedding cake maker, your job's already kind of a gay industry. Like, what the fuck are you talking about, man? You're a wedding planner? Like, what are you talking about, man?
Well, I have read several articles on this, and one of them was kind of interesting. It said that people cannot be denied sales if you're selling a product because of their orientation, race, or religion, or discrimination. Like, if you walk in and say, hey, that birthday cake you got on display, I want to buy that cake, they can't say, no, you're gay. But the artistic side, you can't say, hey, take a plain cake and then write happy birthday to my gay nephew. That's where it's a weird intellectual property thing, like an artistic. So you can't deny a sale of a cake, but you don't have to decorate it in a way that makes you uncomfortable. Did you read or hear that the couple involved in this case doesn't actually exist? The woman who took this to the Supreme Court was never really asked to make, like, she invented it because she's pushing her Christian propaganda. There was no one that said, hey, design this webpage for my wedding. And she said, I feel more, it's all a hypothetical. She invented a couple that wanted a webpage. It's been broken down. Like, she does really shitty web design. One guy pulled it up and said, no gay couple is going to go in and look at her shitty web designs and go, yes, this is what we need for our wedding.
Yeah, you spelled gay with an E. Fuck you. I'm not having you decorate my gay wedding, you fucking moron. Learn how to spell.
Yeah, but it's just funny that was so.
Yeah. They do that with the Bookman things too, man. It's like, all the complaints for content for like school literature come from like a fucking dozen people who just like, that's what they do.
Yeah, they take the smallest amount of crybabies and for some reason champion their bullshit values.
Well, at the same time, yelling about cancel culture. It's like, what the fuck are you doing? I just think it's funny that, like, the artistic side, like, there's like homophobic artists, I guess. You know what I mean? Like, I just like the idea of somebody sitting there going, I'm just trying to write and choreograph this musical. I just don't want any queers fucking it up for me. Like, what do you, all right, well, that's weird.
Well, I mean, it is weird, but it's, and I hate to stereotype, but I will. I've generally found that, and I don't care what political leaning anyone has, but artists on the conservative side of things are not that interesting or good at their craft. Like, they're too constrained by the limitations of their worldview. You know, I mean, examples on the other side. There are people that break through. Like, Kelsey Grammer is a great actor. He's a conservative. But when you look at this woman, for example, who designs websites, they're all pedestrian and awful looking. No one would buy them. Or it just the way it goes. Or artists, musicians that write songs that are they're not really that interesting to listen to.
We took mushrooms with the Maharishi and we discovered we need a flat tax.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Speaking of conservatives,
I don't know. I would like to see QAnon art, though. I'll bet that's pretty good, dude. I'll bet the Q people are pretty good at that.
We've seen it at every Trump rally. It's him dressed up as a tank operator. It's like his NFT.
See, those are good. Those are good. Come on, the Q people are pretty good.
Yeah, speak up. But it's not in the right way.
They're doing all that. What's up?
They're good, but not in the right way. They're good in like, holy shit, that's hilarious. Whereas they think it's actually like, yes, I will salute this and put my hand on my heart. Like they miss the mark. They're going for inspiring and patriotic. And in reality, it's just, oh my God, that's fantastic. That is so funny. I laugh at them. It's
pretty good. I mean, I think there's some of that stuff's a little bit tongue in cheek. The shit where he's shooting lasers out of his eyes, looking like he's about to go fight Godzilla. Like that. Like, come on. Some of that shit. I know what they're doing with some of it.
I think a couple of them know it's tongue in cheek, but I bet there are others that fully buy into it. That
I do see some occasional funny green frog internet memes. So like they're out there. They're out there. Yes. The younger generation is coming along. Now some of them are shooting up fucking Walgreens or whatever, but some of them are making funny little memes with green frogs.
And God bless them for it.
Now, some of them are just Zeke-hiling the green frog and moving on, but there's the occasional funny one.
Things that disappeared. I sent you a link. I said, speaking of conservatives, as a segue, did you get to see the tweet from Marsha Blackburn, the legislator in Tennessee, before it got deleted?
No.
Oh, it was hilarious. If you click on it, when I sent it to you, it says, this page doesn't exist. Try searching for something else. Well, I remember what I sent you because I thought it was funny that it disappeared. It was a tweet. She said, I'm going to make up the number, but like a ton of fentanyl was just seized at the border. This is Joe Biden's America. Open borders and drugs running rampant. And every single response was,
right.
You do know what seized means, right?
Yeah.
So she took it down. She's like, oh, I guess I got showed how stupid I am right there.
Right. Hey, for one thing, most of it doesn't come through, you know, like migrants and stuff. It comes through, you know, legal checkpoints from citizens. Because if you're a drug mule, you're not going like, hey, do I give all this drugs to somebody who is going to be arrested simply for being there? Or do I give it to somebody who can show them some papers and fucking drive through? You know?
Yeah, exactly. Like
what are you going to do? I mean, that's the move. Anybody who thinks that they're just giving it to people who can be arrested and searched and detained and sent back simply for who they are and their legal status in the country has never dealt drugs in junior high. You know what I mean? Like they in their mind, the junior high kids are just setting up fucking weed stands like lemonade stands, you know, like they never had to picture, I will try to get away with this and not get caught and advertise what I'm doing.
Well, and on top of that, say you give a brick of hash or, you know, however many pills, whatever, how you want to get the fentanyl across the border. Whatever drug of choice, cocaine, say you give as much as one person can carry that's in with other migrants, like, oh, maybe they'll make a run for it if the Border Patrol shines a light on them. Or, hear me out, you can pack 2 or 3 tons in one of those little submarines that they have and just move it through the ocean in bulk, or they fly it like in the movie American Made, like, they're not bringing this shit over one mule at a time. That was back in the day. Sure, they'd send people down with balloons in the belly and up the butt.
Sure,
not anymore. Now this is Walmart of drug dealing. It's coming over big time.
Yeah, and most of the people that are using it with the submarines, they're smart enough not to use the company that fucking smuggles it with Xbox controllers. They take a peek in there and they're like, "What the fuck is that? Is that a goddamn Nintendo Switch stick? No way. No way I'm sending my fentanyl with you. Yes. You get a proper submarine wheel or whatever the fuck they use.
And we're staying close to the surface. We're not going to beneath pressure.
That's right. In fact, we're gonna snorkel this shit over there. That's the way we're doing it.
Jake, I loved this story. I don't know how much we want to say about it. I thought it was hilarious simply from... Now, this is another, and we talk about this every week... The difference between the clickbait headline and the headline you get when you click on the article. the clickbait did not have the year on it. I did not see it till I got to the article. Big Tabasco.
It's the best hot sauce on the market, and I'll hear nothing else. If you fucking try to say that any of that shit is better than mine, I will sue you into oblivion.
Sriracha.
That's right. That's right. It's nothing but cock sauce. That's what I say. Ah.
Big Tobacco posts warning signs at 220,000 U.S. stores. And here's the part that was not seen until you click on it. Wrapping up ongoing lawsuits since 1999, the largest tobacco manufacturers will have to post eye-catching warning signs going back to the final major steps in a lawsuit that the Justice Department filed against Big Tobacco in 1999. Holy shit, dude. I mean, that is one hell of a delayed response. Hey, you lost this case in 1999. Here we are in 2023, and you're finally getting around to putting up warning labels, which, as we all know, don't work. I mean, they've proven time and time again, you put like the skull and crossbones on the cigarettes pack, and people go, ooh, that's dangerous. Ooh, I feel like a sense of danger. And they buy it. Like, I don't know what these warning. And here we are 25 years later, and the big nail in the coffin to Big Tobacco is more signs that say, you know, smoking's bad for you.
Yeah, no, it should be. It's such an outdated form of mitigation, you know, that it shouldn't even be you need a warning sign anymore. At this point, it should be, hey, you need to stop bribing Congress people to outlaw vape pens and shit, a healthier alternative to you. That's what the fucking new mitigative measure should be.
And that's my favorite part of this article, where I had it, then I lost it, but that is... Oh, God damn. There it is. In a statement, Altria, which is RJ Reynolds, they just changed their name years ago, said it is transitioning adult smokers to, quote, potentially less harmful products. Potentially less harmful products. Not, you know, quitting smoking or getting off nicotine or you know, walking away. They're not transitioning them to chewing gum. They're transitioning right. them to vaping, which you know is putting other chemicals in their lungs. And
it is, but it doesn't have the tar. It doesn't have the tar. When you're next to vape, and you smell it. It inherently you can smell like, okay, this is not as heavy as the other shit. You know, this isn't going to stick to my clothes. This isn't going to you know. So you got to think if it's not going to stick to your clothes the next day. It's not going to be as bad for you to have as much of that shit in your lungs. Now, I'm not saying there's not other chemicals in there, but there's also other chemicals in cigarettes. So it's like, eh, you know, but it's even with nicotine itself, it's not that fucking bad for you. A, the other chemicals they put in there are fucking worse than nicotine. And B, it's the fucking tar. So if you can cut the tar out and you can get the other chemicals out of it, like that's my whole thing with vaping is like, well, fucking crack down more on what else are they putting in there? Not, oh, this is just as bad as cigarettes or worse. So try to outlaw it. It's like, no, it's a healthier alternative to cigarettes as long as you're not putting anything fucking crazy in there.
Well, and as someone that doesn't smoke or vape, I fully appreciate vaping when it comes to stand-up comedy. I did a casino in Oklahoma a week ago, and you can still smoke in casinos in Oklahoma. And thankfully, they did not allow smoking in the showroom. So I would walk through the smoky casino and then end up in a nice... but I still like wanted to throw all my clothes in the garbage just from... So if you have vaping where it doesn't have that shit, like you said, it stinks to your clothes, it gets in your hair, gets in everything... I still wouldn't put it in my lungs, but as someone that has to be around it, I will admit I appreciate vaping more.
Yeah, dude, there's a hookah bar that used to do like comedy shows in New York where somehow smoking cigarettes in there was grandfathered in. I don't know how that fucking works, but like, I we can still do it here, just nowhere else. Like, what? But yeah, every time I would get done, and I used to smoke years and years ago. I mean, I smoked for about 11 years. I quit like mid-20s, but you don't notice the next day cigarette smell smoke when you smoke. Like you can notice it if someone's lighting up a fresh one around you, sure, but you don't notice that like next morning, because I actually kind of like the smell of cigarette smoke for the most part when I'm around it. I kind of find it pleasant. It takes me back. But what I hate is the stale smell, like the oh, this was from last night and it's still here. That, dude, I dated women back then who didn't smoke. And I'm like, they just put up with that out of me. And they put up with the rest of me, which
I was just going to say, and they put up with you.
Yeah. Like, but and the stale cigarette smoke, and they, wow, you know, that they were troopers. That's hats off to them.
I remember I said this on the podcast once. I said this to you that I said it in a general sense that I offered an open apology to every woman that dated me in my early 20s before I learned what shaving my balls was, who went down there and got a mouthful of hair. So you're in a way doing your own apology.
He used to pluck them, and then he would get ingrown hairs, and then they're down there, and they're looking like two giant raspberries. It was crazy.
Well, you're in a way, I'm saying, you're giving your own apology to anyone that that put up with you.
Oh, All right. It's pretty bad.
Jake, I sent you this story, and it is beautiful. This needs to be a movie of the week. Hallmark needs to do this, turn it into something. I hope you read this. January 6th defendant, representing himself, questions son who turned him into the FBI. I mean, right there, the headline is great, but did you read this story?
Yeah, it's pretty goddamn funny.
It's funny, but the best part, I'm scrolling looking for it, is at some point, he tries to get his son, the son is on the witness stand, and he's grilling him, and he tries to get his son to admit he's gay, and then the judge steps in.
Wait,
and like,
okay, I missed that part. I must have
seen that part. You know, the judge is like, this is irrelevant to the proceedings. I mean, my God.
I only caught the part where the son ratted him out, and then he was asking, you know, I'm proud of you, right? Like on the witness, yeah. Like I would get tired of hearing that shit if I was the judge. Like, what do you? Why?
Well, they have a little love fest, like, I love you, son. I love you, dad. They do all that. Where is it? He was in shock. Didn't know he was going to be. But it was just, that's the best part to me, where they have a love-hate relationship. Oh, he testified that he and his dad have a love-hate relationship. That's fair, said his dad, that they don't see eye to eye in the politics. Both of them are stubborn. Chip off the old block, his dad said. At one point on redirect, Brian Mock tried to elicit his son's sexual orientation on the stand, but the judge said it was beyond the scope of his testimony. It's unclear what he intended by the question as he moved on.
I
mean,
I need you to admit on this stand that not only are you gay, but you were turned that way by a bunch of left-wing, leftist school teachers trying to read you storybooks by drag queens paid by George Soros.
Paid by
It was George Soros in a dress. Admit it.
How can this not become a movie of the week? I mean, the guy, I don't even know what to say other than that. I would watch this.
It's like, it is pretty goddamn irrelevant too, man. Shit could have just been like, that kid should just be like, yes, dad, I sucked 9 dicks on the way to the courthouse. You assaulted a police officer at the Capitol and tried to overthrow the government. Doesn't change a thing. Like, what are you talking about?
Exactly. He said he'd forgiven his son right away when he learned he turned him into the FBI, and asked his son whether he would lie on the stand to keep him out of jail. His son said, no, I just want the truth to be heard. You know I'm proud of you, yes, and you know I love you, yes. The government didn't object. That, to me, would be the best part if that had happened. We're like, you know I love you. Objection sustained. Like,
right. What is going to come out of you questioning your son? Like, what do you, because it's not like the son is turning him in for something where there's no videos of him doing it.
Yes.
You know, if it was one of those things to where it's like, nobody was looking while he vandalized the back of a Dwayne Reed that was closed at night and painted a bunch of fucking green Pepe the Frogs all over it. Like, if it was just him going, yeah, there was no cameras, but that was my dad who did it. Fine, question him. Be like, ask him all this shit. But if it's, oh, he was the one who pointed out it was me in the video, and it was totally me without a mask in the video. I don't know what question are you going to ask your son to what is going to make it not you in that video. It is anything you, any, his involvement is fucking irrelevant. I don't even know why he would even need to like be there. I don't know why the prosecution wouldn't even call him up. The prosecution would be like, here's a video. And if the defense went, who told you it was him in that video? Who gives a fuck? It's him in that video. See exhibit A, dude sitting here. See exhibit B, dude on video. Same dude.
Well, that what you just said, the son, AJ Mock. So the dad is already skip out. Either way, the son was originally going to testify for the prosecution, but the government did not call him. So his father paid for his hotel room and plane ride to testify as a defense witness. So the government even said, we got video of this guy. We don't need to put up the guy that said, that's my dad, because we have the video. So for no reason, the dad brought his son in to hey, did you turn me in? Yes, I did. And are you gay? Like, maybe that was the whole point, is he just wanted to find out whether or not his son is gay. But the prosecution, what you just said, the prosecution said, yeah, we got video. We don't need the guy that said, that's my dad. And for no reason at all, the dad put his son on trial. So the only cross-examination is Assistant U.S. Attorney Michael Gordon asked A.J. Mock if he would describe his relationship with his dad as complex.
And maybe he really did do all this just because he was genuinely curious if his son was gay or not. Maybe this was like gay conversion therapy meets A Few Good Men. And you know what I mean? Did you used to sleep with your friend Caleb in high school? You can't handle the truth. I banged Caleb in your bed, Dad. You know,
Yes, yes, yes. All right.
I don't know what the practical fucking purpose of having him up there could be. Whatsoever.
Other than to amuse the rest of us.
I think there's even laws that say you don't have to testify against immediate family members. I think that's like a thing.
Yeah, if we were smarter, we would know.
No, I mean, you can voluntarily do
it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can't
and somebody
be compelled.
Who, turn their dad in would probably do it. And, you know, I think most of the kids ratting out their parents for being there, it's kind of like, all right, well, that's kind of shitty. Unless it's people that actually, like, he was one of the guys who actually assaulted a fucking Capitol guard. So
there. Well, other end of...
Like, yeah, fuck him, dude. Let him fry.
The assault spectrum. Here we go. A deputy acquitted of all charges for failing to act during the deadly Parkland school shooting. I don't know how I feel about this one, in all honesty. What was he charged with? I had it, then I lost it. Oh, felony child neglect. Because he was there, he was the guard, and when the school shooting started, they showed him hiding outside, not knowing what to do. Very human response. You know, it takes a lot.
Yeah, I don't think you can fucking charge a guy legally for freezing up. Like, that's kind of, you know, it's shitty. He got shamed. It's not like he didn't get his comeuppance from this. He got fired. He got publicly ridiculed.
Yep.
I go back to charge him, right?
I don't know.
It feels like overkill.
Like, I believe in the shaming. I believe in the
sure.
It goes against the whole, like, oh, you need is a good guy with a gun. Well, there was a good guy with a gun right there, and he very humanistically panicked, froze, didn't do anything. Kids died. I don't know. Like, I can see the other side of it too. The side that says, hey, you were hired. This was your job. You said you will protect the kids, and instead you just stood there. I mean, I get that, but it also at the same time feels like sort of a scapegoat thing. Like,
it's also like you're talking about like adrenaline hitting you, and people have that fight or flight response. And you know, most people that are cops have not actually like been in combat or actually been shot at. This is probably the first time the guy actually was.
They say most
shot at
cops retire
like
without ever pulling their gun.
Right. So at that point, it feels like overkill. B, it sounds like it's coming from people who have no fucking experience whatsoever with combat.
And it's sort of,
it fucking happens.
It does. And I think, and this is going to, it sets a bad precedent in a way, kind of like what we see with going on with the police forces right now being decimated because people don't want to become cops because they see how cops are. So it's like, hey, you know, you could get thrown into a pretty shitty, harrowing situation. And if you don't act 100%, you're going to jail. nobody's going to apply for the job. Now, I'm not saying that means they should hire just, you know, sort of Kevin James, Paul
Blart. Ooh, you pulled your gun too quick. Ooh, you pulled your gun too slow. To the slammer with you, sir. Like, yeah.
It's, yeah. Oh, and you know, you just made me think of, we probably talked about this. You pulled your gun too quick. You pulled your gun too slow. Do you remember, this goes back probably over a decade, when it was, why are cops constantly using their tasers? Why are cops tasing everybody? I bet everybody would love to go back to those days right now. Like, hey, maybe pull your taser first, you know, instead of just pulling the gun.
I pointed that out when that was going on. I was like, look, the alternative to the taser is a fucking bullet. So, right. Like, keep that in mind.
Like, yeah, so you about? Might not like being tased, but...
Again, that was just people that have no fucking experience with being in the military, being a cop, combat, any of that. It's, why couldn't they have just blown a whistle like a crossing guard and made him stop stabbing people? Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, it's this is weird. I'm not saying I'm happy he got found not guilty, but I'm also not upset by it because it just seems weird that he was charged with a crime for, I mean, I get failure to act if it is a crime, but at the same time, dude, humans, it fucked his life up for a long time. And
right.
I'm not unhappy about that.
I go back to the story that I've told on this podcast a few times. I'll rush through it and give the
Yeah. I know where you're going and I love this one.
There was a guy in my battalion who on a multi-day mission where you get tired on those, you get loopy. I was always like, wow, somebody's going to fucking do something, you know, accidental, like whatever.
You don't sleep. You're up over 24 hours in a row, right?
Yeah. And several days. And, you might get a few hours here and there, but like, you know, you're in the vehicle and you're like, it's not the same kind of, you know, you got all the gear on. But anyway, he was up in the turret of an MRAP. A situation happened where he somehow took a 9mm and he was shot through the taint with a 9mm and it went out one of his balls, right?
Well, he shot him. It was his own gun, right?
Yeah. Well, the story, we don't know exactly what happened. The story was he dropped a 9mm and it went off and fucking hit him, right? But it's obviously like, I mean, somebody was doing something unsafe with it. I don't know what the fuck happened, you know, but like those things are made to be dropped and thrown around. They're banged around there. You know, we're in bumpy vehicles and off road all the time. Anyway, so the story being bullshit is irrelevant. The fact is the guy wakes up in the hospital, bullet through the taint. One of his testicles exploded as the exit wound. He wakes up to a Purple Heart for being wounded and paperwork for an Article 15 for punitive damages. It's like Article 15 is pretty bad. Like you lose rank, you lose pay. There's all kinds of shit that comes with it. And because they're like, we got to punish him. And it's like, I don't know. He's already had a rough day. You know what I mean? Like, if we don't make sure that if we don't do something about this, people are going to think that it's okay to shoot themselves in the testicle all willy-nilly, consequence-free. We have to, it could be an epidemic of ball shooters, you know? It's like, no, he's had it. If the punishment pales in comparison to the direct reaction and consequence of if the opposed consequence is not nearly as bad as the direct consequence of what you did to yourself, I say time served.
Yep. And when you lose
a
testicle,
write a speeding ticket to a guy who crashed into a pole and is now paralyzed from the neck down. He gets it. He's going to try not to drive that fast again with this thing that, you know, I mean, I don't think he can drive anymore. So not the greatest example, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah. Christopher Reeve was very cautious in his wheelchair.
Ain't been on a horse since. That's right. Yep. We didn't have to have big government step in and tell him not to go horseback riding anymore.
That got dark. All right. Two more stories really quick. This one, with Secret Invasion, Marvel misses yet another opportunity to spotlight queer love in the MCU. So I haven't watched this TV show. It's a comic book TV show on Disney. But apparently, Nick Fury, Sam Jackson, and Ben Mendelsohn, another character, they're really good friends. And for no reason, the author of this article wanted them to kiss and be boyfriends. Hey, LGBTQ community, a community that both Jake and I can speak for you. We support gay protections, gay rights. We are very, This is what the right wing points to when they say gay agenda. When you say, hey, for absolutely zero reason, make these characters gay, that's what the right wing thinks the gay agenda is. If you want to make a gay superhero, that's great. Make a gay superhero, make representation for your community. Don't take a legacy character that's been around for decades and suddenly say, and now he's gay, just because, for no reason. This is what pisses conservatives off. I'm just trying to help you here by saying writing an article like this is kind of silly.
It is. I would have had more respect for the article if he wrote it and he's like, I think they should kiss because that'd be fucking hot. You know what I mean? That'd be fucking hot. Sam Jackson in an eye patch making out with whoever this fucking guy is. It'd be hot. I'd like it, you know?
Yes.
It's Pride Month and I want to jack it to a comic book movie. Like, I would have more respect if that was his reasoning.
I mean, yes.
Because here's the thing. That same guy who wrote this, well, it was the perfect opportunity for mm-hmm. them to make the blah, 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 blah. You'd call it cultural appropriation. You'd go, Sam Jackson isn't a gay actor. This should have went to a gay actor. You'd have fucking played that whole thing. And this is it's a weird article. Now, I was disgusted by this scene, not because they didn't kiss, but because it's yet another fucking comic book movie. And I hate those. So, yeah. Make them straight. Make them gay. I just wish you wouldn't make them anymore. That's my take on comic book movies. I'm sick of these.
Yeah. I just think it's funny that there's a line in here. These characters have palpable tension and the strongest jaded married couple energy since The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Now, The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, I did watch. It was horrible. But the idea that this couple has tension because they're good friends, I did see a comment from a reader of this article at the bottom that I thought was pretty good, where it said, hey, all I read about in the news is how as men get older, they get fewer and fewer friends and become isolated and male loneliness is a thing. Maybe celebrate the fact that you have two adult men who just really are good friends. I don't know.
Yeah, well, okay, and here's the thing. They wrote this article on the same week that, like, the Supreme Court decided to go, you know, full Pat Robertson on the LGBTQ community. So I've pointed this out before. This guy is not a good journalist. And I know that because if he was a good journalist, he'd be writing about the Supreme Court. You know what I mean? He would not be sitting there going, why can't comic book movies kiss more? You know, like, superheroes kiss, but whatever. Because you know what? There's better journalists than you that are covering the Supreme Court shit. You have to make up shit like this where it doesn't exist because
that's all you got.
Yes, you get to be the New York Times of guys bitching about Spider-Man not blowing Robin or whatever the fuck. He's already shooting white shit out of his arms. He could be doing, you know, like, I don't give a fuck. Like, what do you?
He could be shooting it on another guy's chest.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Final story, and we are out of time because the timer is going to go off. And I just thought this was the best. A guy, a right wing guy, tweeted, "Who in the actual heck thinks trans people are attractive? I would never consider dating one." So the first thing people did was went and found his picture, and my God, when you are this big a train wreck, you might not want to be commenting on other people's looks, because he is just a Star Trek, lives in mother's basement, gonna die a virgin fella.
Dude, yeah. The amount of money that Caitlyn Jenner spent to transition, he would need twice that to fix those fucking teeth. I mean, Jesus Christ.
I wish we. I'll link it in the description so you can see this tweet. All right,
He looks like a ferret transitioned into a man on the cheek.
Oh, ferret. That's a good one. Jake is at Jake Vevra on all socials. I am at NathanTimmel.com, and this is going to shut down because we've hit our allotted time. Jake, good seeing your face. And Jake Rose. Oh, there we go.